Okay, so we are in Unit 8 of God's Economics, and Unit 8 is about ministry and money. And we're up to point G. Point G is talking about false teachers and how they are greedy for gain. And we've talked about this in various aspects already from a more new covenant standpoint and how it upset Jesus and how the apostles handled things. But now we're going to look, you know, there's nothing new under the sun. False teachers have been around, false prophets have been around for a long, long time. And I don't mean just 2,000 years of the new covenant. We're going to look at some Old Testament examples of teachers and priests and prophets who were also greedy for gain and who were using the name of the Lord for their own selfish ambition and for their own selfish gain. Okay? But remember that God's own people, Israel, they have suffered the judgments of God through the course of history, because they became wicked in his sight by not honoring his name and doing things according to the way that God instructed and commanded. And so false teachers in the new covenant, you might think, oh, Jesus' blood paid for that. So even though I'm in this rampant sin and teaching all this horrible doctrine all over the place to make a name for myself and make lots of money, but the blood of Jesus, it covers all of that. No, you are deceived. Not only are you deceived in the false teaching that you're spreading around, but you're deceived to think that God will have mercy on you for continuing in the hardness of heart and the ignorance that allows you to continue blaspheming his name in that way. God will take care of all injustice, and he will deal with all false teachers and priests and prophets. He will take care of it all in the end. He will judge. There is a day of judgment that is coming. And we have the example of how those who were using the name of God at the temple of God, well, that temple, both temples, no matter which one we're talking about from the scriptures that we're pulling from, were destroyed. Even though these people thought, no, I've got God on my side. I'm using God. It's all biblically based. I'm using this teaching. I'm in the know. I'm in the truth. No, they suffered destruction. They suffered for the error of their ways. And so we're going to look. This is not a new thing that's going on. It's an old thing. But sometimes by looking at the old thing, we get some insight into the same thing that's happening today. So we talked about Jeremiah before. This is now from Jeremiah chapter 6, starting with verse 13. From the least to the greatest of them, everyone is greedy for unjust gain. Well, that just includes everybody. That's saying everyone. The whole land at this point. Now, Jeremiah, which we talked about, was right in the times immediately preceding the destruction of Solomon's temple, the temple that Solomon built. And they all thought, oh yeah, we've got God. We've got it in the bag. It's all, you know, we're strong and powerful and no enemy can conquer us. No, everyone had become greedy for unjust gain. That's everyone in the land. What they were supposed to be spreading was the goodness of God and the blessing of God and the holiness of God and the demonstration of the righteousness and justice of God. But instead, they'd become so like the world that they were greedy for money and for personal gain and fame and fortune. So that's everyone. He goes on, and from prophet to priest, everyone deals falsely. So he doesn't leave anybody out. The prophets and the priests, the representatives at the temple, they also had become corrupt. They have healed the wound of my people lightly, saying peace, peace, when there is no peace. So the prophets and the priests, aside from the ones that we know about and read about in the scripture, like Jeremiah, you know, Jeremiah didn't have an easy life. He was proclaiming a message that nobody else was proclaiming. The false prophets and the priests, they were all saying, no, the temple of the Lord, we're good. Peace, peace to you. God loves you. God blesses you. You're going to have a great time. God's going to bless you. It's going to be great. They proclaimed a soothing message. They proclaimed a popular message. And you know what? The money kept rolling in. Bring those offerings, folks, because God's got a blessing for you, right? There's nothing new under the sun. Ezekiel was already in captivity and exile in Babylon. Ezekiel 34, starting with verse 2. Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. So shepherd, that's a term for leader. You're supposed to be shepherding the flock of God, taking care of the people of God. If you're in a position of authority or you're a leader or a ruler or a prophet or a priest. So that's the general term shepherd kind of includes any leadership role. So speak against the shepherds of Israel, prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherds, thus says the Lord God, ah, shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding yourselves, right? They're in ministry. They're trying to make money for themselves. They're not in this to serve the sheep. They're not in this to lay their lives down for the sheep. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. I lay my life down for the sheep. A hired hand, he's not going to lay his life down. He's just in it for the pay, right? But the shepherds, they were all in it to feed themselves, to have a nice, comfortable lifestyle for themselves. This was just like their vocation. This was what they were doing. And it just so happened to involve God. You know, like anyone else had a job, this was their job. They're shepherds, but they're feeding themselves. And God goes on through Ezekiel, should not shepherds feed the sheep? Hello, not feeding yourselves, but feeding the sheep. Isn't your job to take care of other people, not to have other people take care of you? Huh. Okay. Verse 3, you eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. So this is all backwards. They were using the flock of God, the people of God. Now, this is obviously a metaphoric picture, but they're using the people of God to take care of themselves rather than spending themselves, pouring themselves out to care for the flock. They had it all backwards. Ezekiel goes on, the weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you have not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought, and with force and harshness you have ruled them. So later in this passage in Ezekiel 34, God says, you know what? I'm going to have to come. I'm going to have a shepherd, and he's going to do things my way. He's going to strengthen the weak. He's going to heal the sick. He's going to bind up the injured, et cetera, et cetera. Well, that's the good shepherd. When Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, he's saying, yeah, I'm that one. Unlike you shepherds who have done, you have turned to selfish ambition and doing this for your own gain. Jesus is the good shepherd who does it the way of God. Micah also has a rebuke for the leaders of the people of God in his day. Micah 3, starting with verse 9. Hear this, you heads of the house of Jacob and rulers of the house of Israel, who detest justice and make crooked all that is right, who build Zion with blood and Jerusalem with iniquity. So what does that mean? You're building the city with innocent blood and with deception and lawlessness and error and corruption. Well, who did that? This should be bringing back images to you of Babel. Who built the city? Babel, right? Who built the first city? Cain. Who shed the first blood? Cain. So now Zion, you're building Zion like Cain. You're building Jerusalem like Babel. And hello, what did the scripture say you're supposed to remember? Remember that I brought you out of Egypt. Remember that I brought you out of Egypt. Remember that you were a slave in Egypt. Well, in Egypt, what were you doing? You were building cities. Your blood was being shed while you built cities for somebody else. You were working when somebody else was in corruption and rebellion against God. So now you, Zion and Jerusalem, the ones who are supposed to be representing God, no, you've become like Cain, like Babel, and like Egypt that you were redeemed out of. Do you see? And this is for the church today, the church, especially in the West. I'm sorry to say it, but it's true. You're using God to be just like the world. It's not okay. And if you think God doesn't see it and God doesn't know what you're doing, or that you've turned serving the Lord into your own personal business for how you're going to make money for yourself, it is disgusting. You're building Zion with blood and with iniquity. It's Babylon. Repent. Stop doing that. Verse 11, its heads, its rulers, the rulers of these cities, give judgment for a bribe. You know, for pay, you say, thus saith the Lord, because somebody paid you a buck. Its priests teach for a price. Well, if you pay me, I'll come and teach the Bible to you. Its prophets practice divination for money, right? Oh, pay me money and I'll speak a prophetic word for you. Yep. Well, guess what? If you're speaking a word in spiritual power that is not the will of God, to enact your own will, that is divination. That is not prophecy. God does not report to our prophecies. God does not report to what we make up in our own minds and then declare in the name of Jesus, whether we've been paid for it or not. The job of a prophet is to stand in the presence of God and get a word from God as to what God says about a situation, not what man wants in a situation, what God says in a situation. Even if you pay $1 million, a true prophet of God, $1 billion, a true prophet of God will still only speak forth what the Lord says, not what anyone desires. So these things are going on. The leaders are taking bribes. The priests are teaching for a price. The prophets are, you know, prophesying for money. And yet at the same time, the verse goes on, yet they lean on the Lord and say, is not the Lord in the midst of us? No disaster shall come upon us. I mean, I literally hear these things in the church today. We're the people of God. No disaster is going to hurt me. No, I'm protected in Jesus' name. Oh, things are going to get really bad in the world, but not, it's not going to be bad for me. I'm going to be protected. This is not a new thing. People have been doing this for a long time. And take warning, take heed to the fact that these prophets prophesied in a time when the very people of God, the ones who thought they were indestructible because they knew they had the Most High God. Well, yes, as believers today, we have access to the Most High God because of the sacrifice of Jesus. But if you don't think that God is going to strip and cleanse and purify His church, His bride, in the final days, you are deceived. It's time to do things God's way. Put aside the ways of Babel and Egypt and Cain and Nimrod and start doing things God's way. So another element of doing things God's way is denying yourself from promoting yourself, meaning don't promote yourself. Self-promotion is the way of the devil. Self-promotion is the way of Babylon. Self-promotion is the way of those in rebellion against God. So I have literally heard people say, well, marketing is one of my spiritual gifts. Marketing is one of my gifts. You know, making a name for myself is one of my gifts. Okay, maybe you do a lot of it and you do it really well, but it's not the way of God. That's nice that you excel at making a name for yourself and you can get yourself a lot of followers on Facebook or Spotify or YouTube or wherever you're promoting yourself. It's not a spiritual gift. It's the way of the evil one. Isaiah 14, God knows the heart. You said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven above the stars of God. I will set my throne on high. I will sit on the mount of the assembly in the far reaches of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. And we covered this passage in a prior unit about the ways of Babylon. But do you see all of it? I will, I will, I will, I will. Now, in this, I don't see someone who is on their face before the Lord saying, Father, I'm seeking your face. Father, teach me the ways of your kingdom. Father, I humble myself before you to learn of your ways and to be taught of you. Do you see the difference there? Someone who, like Jesus, submits themselves in all their ways, whatever the Holy Spirit is telling them to do, whatever the Father desires for them to do, that is what they are doing. One who is saying, not my will, but yours be done, whether that makes me look good or whether that causes me to die on a cross, a shameful criminal's death for proclaiming the truth. The way of the evil one is self-promotion. I will advance. I will ascend. I will be higher than everyone else. I will even be in the place of God. It's evil, friends. Stop. Our example is Jesus. Philippians 2, starting with verse 3, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. So this is a contrast to those shepherds we were talking about. A false shepherd is one who's saying, well, I'm more important than the sheep. So the sheep, they exist to give me their wool. They exist that, you know, if even one of them has to die so that I can have something to eat, well, that's okay because I'm the shepherd, so I'm more important. No, that's the opposite. Jesus is the Lamb of God who laid down his life so that we can all eat of his body, drink of his blood, so that we can have eternal life. You've got this backwards. Jesus counted us more significant than himself. He died so that we could live. Paul goes on in Philippians, let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. And other translations make it more clear that this is the mindset of Christ Jesus. This have the mindset, the same mindset of Christ Jesus. And Paul says later, this is the mature way of thinking. Anyone who is mature in the Lord thinks this same way. And if you don't think this way, you are not mature. Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of a man, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. Okay, so that's the opposite of, I will be equal with God. I will make myself like the Most High, right? Jesus, even though he was God in the flesh, he did not try to make himself equal with God. He did not count equality with God as something to try to attain while he was in a flesh like yours and like mine. Instead, he emptied himself. He poured himself out. He took on the form of a servant. And that doesn't mean just a servant of you or me or the disciples that he was with. That means a servant of God. He served God. And by serving God, he served other people. He didn't have other people serve him. He came and served God and served people. Being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, so you see it? Therefore, God will promote those who do not promote themselves. God will promote those who do it God's way and submit themselves to him. Now, God will do it his own way and God will do it in his own time. But God will see to it that those who are really doing things God's way and not doing it Satan's way of I will promote myself, God will exalt you. Verse 9, therefore, Jesus humbled himself, didn't function from selfish ambition, emptied himself, humbled himself, became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Friend, if you're following Jesus, you don't need to promote yourself. You need to humble yourself before God. To be like Jesus, to represent him accurately in the world. being a minister of God is not about other people looking out for you and taking care of all that you need and getting everything you need. Now, it is one of the benefits if you prove yourself to be genuine because you're so busy laying down your life for everyone else. Believe me, God will make sure that you have everything you need and other people will supply it for you. But it's because they're led by the Holy Spirit. God will be the one who has prompted them to take care of your needs because they see that you pour your life out for the needs of others. That's how this works. And there's no way around it. Self-promotion is the way of Babylon. Humbling yourself before God and doing things Jesus' way, to be a real servant rather than a false teacher or a false prophet. And just wrapping this up, Paul, he says, yep, there are people out there who preach the gospel out of envy, out of rivalry, out of selfish ambition, for greediness, for gain, to make money off of people. Yep, he was fully aware that there were people out there blaspheming and using the name of God, using the name of Jesus for their own selfishness. Just like there had been false leaders or teachers or prophets or shepherds in the past, it had happened again. Now in a new covenant context and in the church. But he said, you know what? As long as Jesus is proclaimed, I rejoice. Let the name of Jesus be proclaimed. Let every ear in the world hear that Jesus is Lord. For that I will rejoice. Let everyone hear the name of Jesus. I will rejoice that everyone is hearing Jesus' name and hearing something about him. Because if they catch a wind in the Holy Spirit and God brings the Holy Spirit into their heart to convict them of sin, of righteousness, and judgment, then the Holy Spirit will steer them and guide them into all truth. Even if the gospel that they heard at first was false, if they genuinely believe in Jesus, then the Holy Spirit can come in and direct them on the right path. And friends, if you've gotten yourselves involved with some false teachers or some false doctrine, all you need to do is repent and submit yourself to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will teach you the truth and guide you into all truth, so that you can be ultimately saved and received into the world to come to dwell with God forever. So Paul was perfectly aware that, yep, there are real teachers and there are false teachers out there. But as long as Jesus is proclaimed, I rejoice. Let's look at those verses. This is from Philippians 1, starting with verse 15. Some indeed preach Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, but thinking to afflict me in my imprisonment. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoice. Yes, and I will rejoice. So Paul says, hallelujah. As long as the name of Jesus is being lifted up, I rejoice. So we talked about this a couple of times in prior segments. A servant of the Lord must not be argumentative. It's not for us to argue over doctrine. Yes, there are people out there. There are genuine servants of the Lord who have gotten themselves locked up in false doctrine. But God is able to correct them and bring them back into the truth. They don't need your condemnation. They need your prayers. Okay? Yes, each one of us individually is called to be alert, beware, and not supply the needs of false teachers. Don't be deceived by false teaching. You have to keep yourself in the truth. You have to stay abiding in the Lord and in the Holy Spirit. But your responsibility also as a genuine follower of Jesus is to speak the truth in love and to show mercy to those who are wavering. God, in the end, is going to sort it all out. God, as we talked about, he's going to judge Babylon, people who are in the world and in the world system. God is going to judge false teachers who have abused his name or used his name for their own selfish ambition. The day of judgment is coming. But we are not the ones who condemn. Even Jesus said, "I do not condemn you. I'm not here to condemn you. You are already condemned. The Son of Man didn't come to condemn. He came to save." So friends, I hope this has strengthened you to discern some of the techniques of false teachers, false prophets, false apostles. Yes, there are false ones that are out there, but you don't be false. Make sure that you are abiding in the truth. And when you hear false teachers out there, yep, you can shut it off. You don't have to listen to it, but pray for them. Maintain a tender heart. And pray for the people that are listening to them, that the Holy Spirit would grab a hold of them and guide them into the truth and away from deception. We have to keep our hearts humble before God, tender before Him, speaking the truth, but still in love for other people.